to Ready to be Romanced. I'm Tori.
And I'm Becky.
And today we're discussing the Unhoneymooners.
I had to do it. I'm sorry.
I feel like this is a show, but like it's the Unhoneymooners isn't a show that we've watched IRL, right?
Yeah. It combines the show. Did you watch You're the Worst when it was on FX like 5 years ago? It's a really good, it's not as like, it is a romance, but it's like way dark and like really, really cynical. And like, it's like they're cheating on each other. It's not like as like, I would say fluffy and fun as a romance novel, but yeah. It kind of reminded me of that show, you know?
Yeah, yeah. When I first saw this title, I was shocked that no one had made a TV show already or written a book by the same name, basically, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely, because it's such a good, it's like the title in itself is like, in the 90s, it would have been an amazing Julia Roberts movie.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like, that's literally what I thought. I was like, how had this not come out in the early 2000s starring Julia Roberts?
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is just, like, your classic, like, mid-90s, like, you rom-com. Know, Julia Roberts era. Exactly. Yeah.
Becky, it's so nice to talk with you. I'm so excited to talk about this book.
Oh, me too. I'm so excited to be here.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your podcast, Too Stupid to Live?
Yeah, so Too Stupid to Live is also a romance novel podcast, but it's more of like a comedy podcast, you know. Basically, me and a guest, we review romance novels, $5 and under, the weirder the better. And I also do special episodes where I interview, upcoming authors or established authors if they like, if they have the time for me. And, you know, other people in Romancelandia to just, you know, see what's going on in their career and life, what they're reading. Things like that.
Yeah, I feel like when your podcast, I feel like it's been going for a while. It's like one of the OG romance novel podcasts.
That feels so weird, but the thing is that I only do two a month, so I feel like I probably put out as much as other people, but I just like started. I've been riding my bike on training wheels, as everyone puts like one. God. But it's so weird because yes. Like I was telling you before we recorded, I was like hanging out with other romance podcasters and they're like, yeah, well, there was Becky and all this stuff. And I'm like, I feel so old.
That's so funny. No, it's cool because I feel like the post 2020 boom in romance, like it's nice to be one of the like. The people that realized romance was a genre before that time.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And like people need content. They're looking for it, you know, like, and totally. Even if like, I mean, I say this as someone, because people are like, I haven't heard of Too Stupid to Live. I know you haven't. Like, you know, it's kind of like you have your like audience of fans, you know, mine totally. Or my parents and maybe two other. No, I'm kidding. But like you have your like kind of your group of people who like, you know, oh, I like this person, like I like the books they discuss, or I like how they discuss books, like let me listen to them to like fill my TBR list with ideas or authors or things like that.
Totally. What got you into reading romance? Were you always a big reader growing up?
Okay, well, the first answer is depression.
yes, that's so relatable.
I wasn't a bookworm growing up, but, you know, I did enjoy, you know, like books like in English class. Like I loved Rebecca. I loved Jane Eyre. But it wasn't until I was in my early 20s and just like going through it. Like I was just, no, maybe it was my mid 20s. I don't even, it's been so long. But I was just going through a really deep, dark, like depressive time. And I had read romance novels before. And it was just like that, those moments, like as I was trying to fall asleep, which just felt so heavy, you know? God, and I just, yeah. And it's like, and I just needed something. I just needed some sort of ridiculous escapism. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, got my Kindle and downloaded my first book. And, you know, now it's been, what, a thousand books later, you know, like that's just how it started. And totally. You know, I got better and, you know, but I was still for a while, like the depression got better. Like I'm okay now, but like it for a while, I was too embarrassed to admit that like I was a romance reader for the longest time. And I was like, you know, reading these books and I thought they were funny, but I thought they were like romantic. And like, this was at a time when like comedians were start. Well, some comedians were starting to put out podcasts, but I'm based in Los Angeles. I'm in the improv world, and it felt like all of my peers were putting out podcasts, whether it was reviewing movies or books or whatever. And it's like I knew I wanted to do a podcast, and I would read these books, and I'm like, this would make for such a great podcast. I just got to, one, admit that I read them, and yeah. two, get other yeah. people to read them and enjoy them and not like shit on them, you know? Yeah. And it ended up being way easier than I thought. So, yeah.
I know. I was talking about how many people just read it, but in secret. And once yeah. you tell someone, they're like, oh, I've read that. Or like, I'm reading that, or mm-hmm. I read the same genre, or like whatever, or like an adjacent genre, whatever. And you just gotta say it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like,
this out loud.
I perform this story like in storytelling shows, but I'll like give you the kind of like during that time, like when I was going through the depression and reading the books, like it was around the time my brother met my now sister-in-law. And like it was the weekend when my parents were like coming to visit, and we were like all like scrunched in the car. We went to dinner, and like there's my brother and his girlfriend. They're so happy. And I'm like, ugh, I like so miserable. But then like, but it was also kind of like awkward because like my parents are asking her like, you know, they get to know you questions and blah, 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 blah. And so then my dad, so she was just like, oh, I like reading. I like going to, you know, bar class, whatever. And my dad's like, oh, what kind of books do you like reading? And she was like, oh, I love the Black Dagger Brotherhood. And she just said it. Like, she just said it. Like, she just was like, said it like the way people are like, I love Freakonomics.
And yes, yes.
It blew my
your mind. Yeah.
And I just like remember like my heart's pounding, and I remember my dad being like, do you read any other books? And she's like, guess I like werewolves too. You know, I just owned it.
It's so yeah. refreshing because that's never been me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny, the parallels of me starting my other podcast, Ready to Be Petty. It was when mm-hmm. I had just moved to a new city. I was so depressed. I had no friends, and going to sleep was so hard. Yeah. So I stuck on a podcast, and I would listen mm-hmm. to that till I fall asleep. Bad habit. It's like 10 years later and I still have to do that.
But me too. So oh God. Yeah.
Do not recommend, but yeah. like, but I did that, and I started a podcast because I had no one. I talked about it with my girlfriends and stuff like that, but you know, they tire of some conversations at some point, and it's like I had mm-hmm. no one to like really talk about some really small detail of a pop culture story.
Yeah,
because it's so it's quote-unquote embarrassing, it's like superficial, it's not valuable, it's not high art or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just really funny the parallels that Ready to Be Betty have with Ready to Be Romance, because
yeah.
it's like same but different. And like I just think, you know, I started that podcast 6 years ago. I wonder if I didn't start that, if I would have this one, because
sure.
or yeah. that I would talk about it so much. And I still get the tingles up my spine. Like I was like, oh, I had a big reading weekend or whatever at work. And my boss was like, mm-hmm. oh, what did you read? And stuff. I was like, you never ask someone that. Like,
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Don't ask me.
Is that I do. So now I've yeah. reached the point where I assume yeah. everyone's a romance reader now. And
good
I don't know
you,
if it's like.
You. I love that.
yeah. Like, and like, except for like my friends, when I like put them on, like now when I like have them back on the show, or I have them on the show for the first time, and I'm like, oh, have you, like, you've probably never read a romance novel before. And they're like, actually, I'm like a really big so-and-so fan, you know? And I'm like, never mind, you know? So I just think more and more people are reading it and are accepting it and are kind of just putting aside any like preconceived notions that have been like ingrained in our brains that like this should be shameful or,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And even the stuff that we think should be shamed, like, you know, there are people who are like, yeah, I read hardcore erotica now, you
yeah,
know, and
yeah,
I always
yeah.
have. And it's like,
yeah.
good, you know, like blow that horn.
Yes. yeah, no, absolutely. It's so funny. And I sent you a list of books because I knew I wanted to have you on the pod. You've been mm-hmm. on my other pod. I've been on your pod. And you chose The Unhoneymooners, and I'm so glad you did, because it's also just, it's very, it's rom-com, but it's heavy on the calm.
Yes. And yeah, which I love.
Yes,
and I will
yes.
say, I was going to do, I felt like, oh, I hope she's not expecting me to do Ice Planet Barbarians, because I am very much into romances where one of the characters is not human. Like, I love Monster, I love Aliens. But I did it on my show, and I just, like, didn't. And I knew that The Unhoneymooners were so good, and I'm like, this is my chance. got to do on Honeymooners.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're diving into our first paranormal. I guess, do you count Twilight as a paranormal romance? I guess so.
But I guess like, so. I don't even know. Like, Twilight is its own, like, you know, it kind of is just like kind of like brand name snacks at a, you know, gas station store, you know? It's like it's there, but it's like not like, it's not it, you know what I mean?
It's really not it. But I'm gonna do a KD Roberts paranormal romance in May. Ooh. And I'm so excited. It's gonna be so much fun.
What book are you reading?
The Dragon's Bride.
Oh, I did that one. I still talk about
that whole series, like, I've read.
Yeah. I think about that book. And I think a lot. I have ADHD, as you could tell. I'm going like a mile a minute. And I feel like I think about The Dragon's Bride probably 75 times a day.
Yeah, I think about it often. Man, oh man. Okay, let's get into the Unhoneymooners. Spoiler warning, we're going to be discussing the book, but we're not going to be talking about anything that comes after. It's written by Christina Lauren, which I have some fun facts about Christina Lauren when I did my internet investigation. But it came out May 14th, 2019, and it stars Olive Torres, who is a twin. She's an identical twin. She has a large Mexican-American family. They live in the Twin Cities. She's a scientist. Her sister is a nurse. And she has really bad luck, and her sister has really good luck.
Yes.
Do you fall into one of these categories? Like, do you think you're a lucky person?
I think, honestly, I'm an olive. Like, I feel like honestly, I don't necessarily think it's, like, fate or, like, some sort of, like, all-powerful creature, like, just rolling me. It's my mindset. I can be, you know what I mean?
That's what olives was. That's the crux of the book. That is so fucking funny. Totally. I watched a TikTok the other day, and it was like, I'm a romance reader. I can't remember what it said, but it's like, you think you would be the heroine, but you would be the scullery maid. And it's exactly, like, that's me. Like, I would be the olive. I would be the in Bridgerton, I'm the, like, the girl dressing up Daphne.
Oh, yeah. I'd be, like, the lady with the fake French accent and, like, getting herself in a hole being, like, why did I do a fake French accent to sound more important? I could do this for the rest of my
Madame Delacroix.
Yeah.
That like, is
her story. Like,
that is so fucking funny. My God. So, yeah, Olive is down on her luck. It's really hard, and everything seems worse because her sister is the winner of the family. Things just fall into place with her. She wins a bunch of contests, and she's getting married to a man named Dane.
He's like a bro.
He's a
bro.
Olive is neutral on him, which it's tough when you're a twin and you're only neutral on your sister's partner.
Yeah, it's tough it's tough that, like, it's hard. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have experienced this, like, when your best friend or a sibling, you know, or someone you're close to, it doesn't even have to be your twin, when they, like, start dating someone and they get married and they're moving on, like, it's like your arm is being chopped off in a way.
It really is.
Olive is, like, she's gotten past that, you know, kind of point where, you know, she's not like, oh, I'm the only single one, like, blah blah blah, you know. She is genuinely happy for her sister.
Yeah. I think it's also in the context of having a really big, really close family. She has divorced parents and stuff like that, and when family is so, like, such a of importance to you, I feel like it's hard to, you're happy, but you're like also like, when is it gonna happen for me?
Yeah. Because it's like your one, like, your family is, like, for a lot of people, it's like it's such a realm where you're your authentic self, no matter how you behave, like, you are who you are.
Yeah.
It's your last, like, kind of support system. And it's like, that's like, you know, like, it's hard. And so when there's any sort of adjustment, even if it's bringing in a wonderful person or someone's moving or someone has a kid, you know, like, it's a change.
It's a change. Yeah. Absolutely. And so it's their wedding, and it's kind of chaotic because Amy is, you know, she's the put together one. kind of type A, and she has this really long list of things for everyone to do, especially Olive. And she was basically able to finance the entire cost of the wedding through winning like giveaways and stuff like that.
Insane. It's like insane. She needs a reality show. Like, you know, remember, what was it, like Insane Couponers?
That's yes, 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 yes. Yes. No, but like it was insane. Yeah. Extreme Couponers.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was feeling kind of like that. Like she even had an email that was especially for like contests and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this means that Olive is in a dress that was just like given to them. And it's like this emerald St. Paddy's Day green.
Yeah, I just like was picturing like it was like, because the way they made it seem, I'm like, oh, that's kind of, I like green. Like, you know,
sounds
pretty good. I'd wear something like that. And then it was like, oh, it looks like it was, they made it seem like it was like cut out from a you know, a costume from like Disneyland or something. Like it was so like ridiculous. And everyone thought it was ridiculous. It wasn't just like, oh, there's a weird bow. Like, you know, that typical kind of trope when you're a bridesmaid. It was like, this is like you look like a clown.
Like, yes, like this is cut. Yeah, you're right. It's like straight polyester, like taffeta or whatever. That is just it like screams, which it's so weird for a type A person. I guess it's like if you're cheap, you don't care. But I'm like, wouldn't you want the pictures to look good and stuff like that instead of? Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of thing because it's like, oh, I wonder if like Amy kind of like gets this like serotonin boost from winning something, and so she's not really noticing how bad
it is.
Which, to be fair, that is her character trajectory.
Yeah, true. And
it's like, but it's free, you know.
True.
Like,
yeah. Like almost looking so positively at everything that you miss some of the like red flags.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. So Olive is tasked to check out the best man speech, and the best man is Dean's brother, Ethan Thomas. Mm-hmm. And they haven't gotten along since day one.
Mm-mm.
And she thinks they had this like misunderstanding about her eating cheese curds at a like country fair. And they just like have been really cool to each other since, and they kind of have this banter.
Yeah, they think they both are led to believe that the other one hates them and they
classic
come in, like hardcore immature resentment, you know, like nothing will change their mind about the other person.
Yes, this was interesting. I thought. He calls her different names. He calls her Olivia, like a lot of O names and stuff like that. He says Olive for like the first time at the wedding, and she's like, oh my God, you learned my name after 3 years. What did you think about that little trope?
It's very funny because I have read that before, you know, and, you know, just to kind of, and I liked it. I liked it this way. Like the other times I've read it, it was always like a boss secretary or boss like assistant kind of situation. So there's like a weird power imbalance. And I love that it started with him saying Olivia, because it does seem
it's
like
so close.
It's so close. It's like you don't even know her name, and then you realize, oh, he very much knows her name. And like they both love poking each other, you know.
Totally.
Even though they hate, even though they're led to believe that they don't like each other.
Totally. Because she thinks that Ethan is, again, he's the bro-y boyfriend's brother. They go on trips a bunch of times during like big holidays and anniversaries. So she's like, I think Ethan resents me for like taking away his brother.
Exactly.
And
then she's
like, Dane's also kind of a shitty boyfriend for like leaving on these vacations, but I guess Ethan's the one conducting it, so I have to put up with it.
Exactly. Yeah. She thinks that he's like very manipulative and like kind of she thinks he's like a whiny little bitch. Like that's kind of
no, literally.
She thinks he's a whiny bitch.
Yeah, because what is he whining about? The buffet. So they have a full shellfish, seafood buffet for their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And
shellfish, you guys, like, at a wedding.
Like, it sent chills up and down my spine.
I I can't. Like, I honestly, here's the thing. I kind of agree with Ethan about buffets. Like, I do think they're disgusting, and but I get the appeal. Like, and there are times, like, I used to love buffets when I was a kid, and they're, it's about the context. But shellfish in buffet form, I am like, just throw me in a trash can and shake it around, and that'll be my party. You know, like, that's so disgusting.
No, it's so gross. Just thinking about all of that fish sitting and, like ugh, seafood like, sitting yeah. out, like, in warm.
That's there's, not right.
It's not right. But I totally agree. Like, when COVID happened and buffets were, like, canceled, I was like, kind of, this is, like, this is one of the upsides.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Especially, like, when I'm at a wedding or a nice thing, like, I'm, like, clumsy. And so I hate, I'm wearing, like, if I'm wearing a nice dress and I'm heels and, you know, I'm trying to, like, whatever. And I, like, have to, like, take my plate from the buffet. Like, I'm always, like, either I look ridiculous because I'm scared I'm going to literally drop something on me, or I literally drop something on me. And so to just not have to worry about that stress.
No, and like, why is it so embarrassing to be like holding a plate in a buffet line?
Yeah, it feels like we're in school. Like, it feels like it's lunch, we're having lunch and we're going to have recess after this. Like, yes. It feels ridiculous.
Completely. And again, I get the purpose, especially at a big 200 person event like this one is, but
you save money. You save money, but don't do shellfish, you guys. That's so gross.
That's so gross. But Olive has a shellfish allergy, and because Ethan is such a germaphobe, they get chicken, like a different meal option.
Yeah.
So during the wedding, when inevitably things go absolutely off the fucking rails. Off the rails.
This is like, it was like a 1980s comedy, screwball comedy level of like barfing and people being sick. Like, it was like, yeah, it was that was wild.
It was so funny. I'm not going to lie. I kind of had to do a little bit of a quick skim because...
Me too.
Because I hate puke and like all of that stuff. And I was like,
me too.
Wow, this is so funny. I was getting like, do you remember in the first Pitch Perfect movie?
Yes.
Like I was getting that vibe, and I was like, I'm going to have to FF this when I watch the movie. And I just but like it is peak comedy, and people are like, okay, just wait. Like this has to be from the alcohol because it couldn't be from the shellfish. And it's like, no, there is a type of food poisoning that, like, instantaneously happens.
And it's all at once, too. Like, she even mentions it in the book, like, it's a zombie outbreak. Like, it hilariously happens all at once.
Super, super, super funny. So, basically, the married couple is sick, too. Yeah, down for the count. They're doing the, like, traditional honeymoon the next day or whatever after their wedding. And they can't go because... they're so sick. So they offer their all-inclusive 10-day trip to Maui to Olive and Ethan because Olive looks identical to Amy. And I guess Ethan is going to pretend to be Dane.
Yeah. It was like maybe they kind of look alike. I guess maybe because like Amy was the one who like set everything up. Like, you know, if they were like, oh, let me see your ID, you know, she could clearly give them Amy's ID, you know, and like, but if he didn't use his whatever, you know.
Yeah. Would you do this?
I would have to like think about it because like this is a really like this is a huge scheme, you know, and I would need to think about all of the other schemes that my twin and I did previously. Would this be successful? I honestly think, yes, if it's a trip and there's no and it's like, you know, there's no substitutions or whatever. It's like some sort of like bureaucratic bullshit that they won't let her go. Like
literally.
Someone's got to take that trip, you know?
Yeah. I feel like normally I wouldn't do it, but you're right. I feel like I could be really convinced to do it also.
Oh, 100%.
I get nervous with like airport and like IDs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm doing anything wrong. I still feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Oh, 100%. I'm so with you.
But the thrill of like a all-inclusive trip with like, they do like snorkeling. There's hiking and pool days and massages and stuff like that. Like, that's pretty hard to pass up.
Yeah, you can't say no to that. Like, it's not just like a voucher to stay at a Motel 6 in Hawaii, which even that I'd take, but yeah, you know.
Yes, totally.
But it's everything and more, you know.
Absolutely, totally. So they both accept. They're at the airport and Olive is like, my luck is turning around. Like, it wasn't me that like fucked up the wedding.
Yeah.
She was unemployed and she got a job offer. She's off to Maui on her like last couple days of being jobless.
Yeah. She's going to come back and she's like, I'm going to go on a great vacation and I'm going to come back to a great life.
Yeah. Like, it's really turned around for me. She's like, I just got to stay away from that pesky little guy, Ethan. And then everything will be okay.
Like, yeah, of course.
So I think like the first sign of like, for me, that something with Dane wasn't right was when they were on the plane. And
yes,
we realized that Ethan is really scared of flying and he's like not really a big traveler and he is kind of a homebody. So Olive like kind of, she's just kind of like, interesting little fact that I'm learning about him. And I think it softens him to her. And then she's also like, it's interesting that you still go on all these trips with your brother, but like, I'll put a pin in that for later.
Yeah. It's definitely something, it like piques her curiosity. And yeah, I didn't like, looking back, yeah, I think I would see it as like a red flag. You know, it took me a second because, you know, how like some people are like, I love traveling, but I'm really going to have a meltdown on the plane. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get through it. Like, yes. You know, just people who are used to having meltdowns, you know.
Yes. Yes.
It's totally one of those.
No, totally. Which is like kind of me. I'm like, yeah. I do love to travel, but it's like I will have like a 2 out of 10 panic attack at minimum on the plane. Yeah. But we're just rolling with that. So like,
my anxiety and like my, just like my level of like tension in my body. Yes. Is like, I'm never going to be relaxed. If you can give me all the drugs, I'm not going to relax.
No, exactly. So they arrive at the hotel and this is so funny because it's just one room because it's like,
they think it's their honeymoon.
The honeymoon. And they check in and she's already having a tough time lying about her being Amy, but, you know, Ethan kind of smooths it over. And they kind of, like, are debating who's going to get the room and who's going to get the couch, of course. Right.
Yeah, of course, that old
that old one bed trope.
One bed trope.
But I think Olive ends up getting it. And then they go to their first dinner. And Olive sees her future new boss on the trip. Yeah. And basically has to pretend that Ethan is her husband. And so it's like quickly like she's like, you can have the bedroom.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I thought that was fun. Like, I liked how it wasn't just like all it like they do like kind of point to the idea of like, I'm the guy, I'll take the floor or whatever.
Yeah. You know?
And it's like it came about in a really like kind of authentic, holistic kind of way. And I was like, yeah, that I appreciate.
Yeah, that's so funny. Now that you say that, that just sticks in my mind. I didn't really think about the one bed trope. The guy's always like, I'll take the floor. Yeah, I'll take the couch or whatever.
Like, I only say this because like one time, and this is not romantic at all, but I was like, I was meeting my dad at an Airbnb, like, or at their new house, like they got a new house. There was literally only one bed, but they had like couches and stuff. And my dad was like, I'm going to sleep on the couch because I'm a man. And I was like, what? And I could not convince him otherwise. And like, you know, my body can handle sleeping on a couch. You know what I mean? Like, you're an older guy. You've been moving all day. You've been like, whatever. Like, you deserve the bed. And he just wouldn't
take it. Yeah. I was thinking also of people we meet on vacation where Alex literally has back problems, but he still gives, I think Poppy is her name, the bed. And I'm like, you have back problems. problems.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is like going to be your bed. Like I fall asleep on couches all the time. Like,
yeah.
I'm totally. Fine. It was just very funny to me.
Yeah. No, that's super funny. So yeah, they're pretending that they are on their honeymoon. It's very cute. And then I think it might be the next day at breakfast or something like that, but they bump into Ethan's ex-girlfriend. And I was, yes, at this point, I was like, yeah, I was like, how many fucking people are they going to run into?
Like, yeah, I thought that was like, it's so like, I think there's some people who are like, really, really? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, honey, you bought the book, you know, like this is what we're getting, yeah, you know? Like,
no, you're, yes, so right. I can get so persnickety about things. And it's, yeah, like, girly, like, mm-hmm, like, let's just, you're here for the ride.
Yeah, yeah. Like it is so interesting to me, like for writers who are writing this kind of thing, because you have to heighten so much so quickly, because this is an easy kind of trope to get ahead of. Like, we're all kind of waiting for the shit to hit the fan when this happens, when that happens. And so I think as a writer, like, you have to keep them guessing. And so to have this like really strange coincidence, like, it's like, that was so surprising. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
right.
yeah but it's not as easy as the boss, because Sophie, the ex-girlfriend, is there with her new fiance Billy, and they had broken up like 6 months prior. So
yeah so Ethan's raw, he's raw from it,
so raw. This was actually something I really liked in the book, because I think a lot of romance novels, it's like you completely are over all your exes and stuff like that, but I'm like, this is actually way more realistic.
Yeah, it's so hard to like, just again, like we were talking about earlier, just like, you know, dealing with any sort of transition, like it's like there's a level of grief in a breakup, and like something that, like, yeah, I get it. Ethan, yeah. And Ethan's a sensitive soul, like this guy has feelings.
Totally. And it's so funny when, because he goes immediately, he goes, oh, that's your fiance, this is my wife.
Like, yeah. Because it was right there. He had to.
Yeah, he had to. And then it's so fucking funny when Sophie's like, just wait, like, I know Dane's girlfriend. Like, you guys look identical. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, they're twins.
Yeah.
like she's, they almost, like, oh, like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's like, okay, well, we should grab drinks later on.
Yeah. It's very funny because, like, when they kept running into couples in this book, I almost wanted them to be, like, everyone there was on a fake honeymoon. Like I don't know. Like Sophie's like, oh, no, we're pretending to be married. And then when they have dinner with her boss and the wife, like, I wanted them to be like, oh, no, we're just pretending for the thing, you know? And it's just every couple there, they're all pretenders.
Totally. Well, because I kind of thought when Sophie was like, oh, and this is my fiance, it was kind of going down that path.
Yeah, because there was something about it that was a bit unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
I guess I don't just know. The speed of
her moving.
Yeah,
on.
Moving, yeah, on, and it escalating to like engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're doing the whole fake married situ, but they kind of like decide during this part that they're like gonna do all the fun activities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we get like just real, like really fun couples like falling in love chapters.
So great. It's so great.
They're like snorkeling, and he like, it's like the first time they're not fighting or like bickering or like bantering or whatever when they go snorkeling, and she was like falling behind or something like that, and he just like held her hand and like snorkeled with her the whole time. I was like,
yeah,
screaming, crying, throwing up.
Yeah. And then when he got like car sick, speaking of throwing up, when he got car sick, seasick, you know, like she was kind of like letting him lay on her, and like they, all of their pretenses went away, you know, like they were just getting to know each other, and we slowly see them like kind of realizing, oh, that's not what I thought about this person. That's not what I thought about this person.
Totally, which is a good life lesson for all of us.
Really? I mean, the next time you're forced to go on a fake honeymoon, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, have an open mind, goddammit. Totally. And we are also finding out, Olive's finding out, that Ethan found her attractive from the jump, the first time that they met. And he actually wanted to ask her out, But mm-hmm. Dane told him no.
Yeah. And Dane was the one who said she's like, more or less, she's so grumpy or whatever.
She hates everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, understandably colored Ethan's view of her. So it's like every action that she does, every facial gesture that she makes, anything, he's going to think, oh, it's because she hates everyone.
Right, right. Which is, it really sucks for her also, because it's like, well, A, just the expectation that women are, like, always happy and, like, mm-hmm. nice and looking at the positive side and, like, you can't be cynical or, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Unless you're, like, a fucking shrew, like, like.
Yeah, like, right. Well, and it's, like, and that's just, like, you know, there, because there's a level of just, like, being reasonable and normal, and then there's, like, being a shrew. And yes, I think she was just, like, reasonable normal. And normal.
No, literally. Like, all the time she was like, yeah, I have, like, really bad luck. It's like, no, like, you actually have bad luck. Like, yeah.
And like, the thing is, you know what's so crazy to me is that, like, I'm like, oh, this scientist who obviously is really smart, has doctor in front of her name, has bad luck, you know? Like, okay.
Dane's idea of her colors the way that Ethan sees her, but again, yeah, I don't think she was being unreasonable, like, at all, but he's mm-hmm. basically seeing that, like, he was right, his first impression of her was right, and
yeah,
they, like, really get along and are having a good time together. They, yeah, continue all their little fun activities. They do, like, the couples massage thing, which was, like, oh my so God. Fucking funny.
I love that scene so much. And no joke, my friend and I, like, have this voucher for, like, this hotel stay. We still can't afford it because we have to pay for the tickets. So it's, like, still up in the air if we're going to use it. But it comes with a free couples massage. And I was, like, reading that scene, and I was like, am I going to have to, like, massage my best friend, Courtney? Like, are we going to be massaging each other if we decide to go on this trip? It's going to be so weird.
Because I was like, oh, this, like, doesn't happen. Then I was, like, thinking about a TV show I watch where it's like, oh, no, couples massage, sometimes there is a little, like, demo on the other person.
I know. And it's like, we don't even have that kind of relationship.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We would already be nervous just saying, getting a massage next to each other.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're not a couple. We're just like, we just managed to, like, randomly win these things. And, like.
totally. They get, like, drunk one night. They end up hooking up because they, like, kind mm-hmm. of, like, kiss and, you know, they're hugging when they are fake married.
They have to pretend. Yeah.
Especially because they're seeing Sophie all the time throughout their stay at this resort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what was refreshing about this book, too, is, like, they're immediately like, oh, I really like this person. I want to date this person. Yes. And really honest with each other. Like, they have this cute scene where they go hiking. And Ethan kind of asks her, like, what are we going to do when we get home?
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't answer at first because she's, like, thinking. But then she's like, I know that we said that this was going to be, like, a vacation fling. But, like, I do want to, like, continue seeing you. I'm just really into books at this moment that is, like, where the people are just way more communicative. And it's, like,
yes,
less of a, like, miscommunication trope type thing, like, which it is kind of in this book, but, like, this part isn't.
Mm-hmm. But the miscommunication thing here is about Dane, you know, like, it, and it's about, like, these, and it, and that is an actual, like, very realistic kind of different thing. Like, I feel like, you know, 10 years ago, the you would have read, oh, Ethan's like, I'm not looking for anything.
Yes.
I'm so troubled, you know.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God, I have so much angst, blah, blah, blah. And, like, no, that wasn't the issue at all. And that's been very refreshing to read, not just, like, in this book, but in a lot of books of just people being mature, you know.
No, literally. Yeah, I totally get that. And, like, it just happens in so many books. And I don't hate reading it, but then when you get a book where the guy is just really upfront and she's really upfront, they're both upfront with each other, and you're right, he's not making excuses of why he just wants to like have sex with her and not anything more serious or whatever, it is really refreshing.
Yeah, because, like, since, you know, for my podcast, I'll read books that were, you know, published, you know, to make it under the you know, price line. And so I'll read books that were published, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And the like, after knowing about gaslighting and, like, reading that and seeing that trope, it is very gaslighty of more like this. The you see a lot of the female characters kind of taking the blame for making the guy fall in love with her and it not being like, what? Like, go away.
Like, yeah, it's like they're like basically they're together, like they're basically boyfriend, mm-hmm. girlfriend. And then the guy's like, what? Like, you think that this is supposed to continue after this? Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is very gaslighting. Weird.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So this was a cute moment also because, like, they said they were going to keep, like, seeing each other, but they keep calling each other, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, like, kind of on accident. So it was cute. Really cute because they're at the top of the hike and Ethan goes, would you mind taking a photo of me and my girlfriend? And she's like,
it was so sweet. I cried. Well, I didn't cry, but, you know, if I had emotions, I'd cry.
No, literally. It was just cute because, like, I also love a vacation romance where they're, like, she's just talking about, like, I think he took a picture of her and then he's like, send it to me because she looks just like so happy and carefree and like lovely. And oh my God, I miss being like vacation hot or like summer hot. I really feel like I'm in my winter ugly era. Like,
I mean, listen, it's not our fault. I hear you. And I think, like, what was additionally fun, like, I love kind of like the fun and games of them getting to know each other, the feelings are happening, you know, kind of like the juice that we love when we watch these movies or read these kinds of books. But I think, like, also what really struck me was seeing them kind of like seeing Olive kind of unravel all of these things that she thought about Ethan and realizing it's all coming back to Dane. And and so, like, and these are just like, this is like jaw dropping kind of revelation she's making. Cause it's like thinking your childhood bully, like, had a crush on you this whole time, you know, like, it's just like changing, like, kind of the balance of her brain, you know?
No, absolutely. That's a really good point. Cause as they're having this really nice time, the other thing that's happening is Ethan is speaking more about Dane. And we're realizing that basically Dane had told Ethan that he wasn't exclusive with Amy up until the time that they got engaged, where Olive is thinking that they dated for, I think, 3 years.
Yeah. Like, totally exclusive.
Totally. You know. Like, they were exclusive after their, like, first date or first couple dates or whatever. So when they find that out, she's just like, that's interesting. Like, and he's like, maybe it's a miscommunication. I think Amy probably knew. There's no way that she didn't know. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, okay, we're not going to tell Amy when we get back home. But she does have kind of her, like, her spider senses, spidey senses are tingling a little bit.
Her twin spidey senses.
Yes, her twin intuition.
And granted, what I thought the author did a great job with was they, even though, like, you know, they're putting down their walls and they're connecting and they're finding out they're not who they really are and they're great people, blah, 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 they're still arguing. And I love that. I mean, I love a good argue. I love when smart people are immature. Like, it just makes me feel better. And
totally. And it's like in such a fun, competitive way.
Yeah.
That I think is just like really cute. And it,
yeah,
it seems, I don't know, realistic. I like that type of flirting. Like, that's me fun too. Flirting.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I feel like it's the type of flirting that, like, oh, if someone tried to do that in real life, I'd be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But,
like, fun.
No, that's so true. I feel like I talk about that on this pod all the time where it's like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, ew, like, get the fuck away from me. But in a book, I'm like, let's go.
Like, yeah, like, tell her, like, say things that are worse, you know? Like, talk about bad luck.
Double,
you know?
Down. Like,
yeah, like, during the scene where, like, I mean, one thing, like, that was very funny about Olive's backstory is that there was this silly thing where she got caught in the claw machine when she was six. It made local news. And, like, of course, that's the first thing Ethan brings up, you know, in front of her new boss. I would have been livid, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just, like, of all things that the person I hate would bring this up.
Totally.
And with me thinking he hates me, I would think he's not doing it to tease me or flirt with me. He's doing it to, like, really fuck things over for me. That's how what my brain would go to.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. It's kind of like at the wedding when he does a good speech and then she's up next because she's the maid of honor. And then all hell breaks loose and he's like, it's because of you. Like, it's your speech. Yeah. Like,
I know. And it's like that kind of stuff where it's like, it's funny, but you have to like really have a special relationship for that kind of stuff to hit, you know? Mm. Or like, you have to be a romance novel character for that.
Maybe we would call that bullying in real life.
Like, exactly. Yeah. It's a really interesting thing because it's just like, I'm a very sensitive person, but I also love joking around, and it's like trying to find that balance of totally. Like what I want with in real life versus like what I love reading.
Yeah. I feel the exact same way. I also just don't think I'm quick-witted enough to like keep up with that type of like,
banter. Yeah, and I say this as someone who's put my foot in my mouth many times. Like, I have, like, you know, said just with my friends, you know, kind of, like, dug below their hit below the belt.
Yes. Oh, totally. Me
you know,
too,
just,
yeah.
like, put my foot in my mouth or just, like, you know, kind of, like, oh, that was whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking been there.
Yeah. I say that as the giver of the shade.
They head back to the Twin Cities. And this is so funny. They like land, they're at the airport, they're kissing at the luggage claim, and Dane and Amy are there to pick them up, and they have a sign that says "Welcome home from our honeymoon." And Amy just goes, "Were you two kissing?" And Olive goes, "No," and Ethan goes, "Yes."
Yes. Yeah. I loved that part. Again, because I feel like I feel like our, you know, romance novel reader brains are going to think, okay, they on the plane put together this whole thing of how they were going to reveal to everyone to like, you know, soften the blow of how weird this is and all this stuff. And it just gets like blown up in a second. And I love that kind of stuff. Just, you
absolutely
know, exceeding your expectations of what you think's going to happen. You
totally.
Know?
Totally. Yeah. They didn't have time to give the makeup game plan or like give a prepared speech or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And for the next like week or so or whatever, or like remaining days before she starts her new job, they are hanging out constantly. He stays at her house like every single night, and it, like they just fall into like a really nice routine. And it's really easy, and it's really cute when they're like, well, I guess like you should get dropped off at your house and like I'll go back to my house and stuff like that. Like, oh, I really want to use my big bathtub and stuff like that. And then he just like an hour later comes over and he's just like,
yeah,
hey.
And she's like, hey, yeah, I missed you, come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Very cute with Chinese food. I was like, oh, dream man, really.
Really a dream man. Like, yeah. It's so nice because I you know, like, sometimes like the coming back from vacation, you just like hit just like this low energy kind. You're kind of sad.
Oh yeah, post-vacation blues are real.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. And so I was like expecting her to have that, and then it was like, no, it kept going. It was nice.
I know. And it was so relatable. And she's like, no, I just want to go home and use all of my products and stuff that I couldn't fit in my carry-on. I was like, me too. And then he brings Chinese food, and she's like, let's eat. Let's have sex, and then I'm going to take a bath. I was like, damn, that sounds like a really good night.
That sounds great. And he's just, and he's like, yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
So funny. But she starts her new job, and at their, at the new job, like, she's stoked on this job.
Yeah.
And at the new job, it was hinted at before, but her boss is really like, hey, we loved you and Ethan, and we have this like spouses club. He should join it. And she's like, know what? If I'm gonna like actually have a career here, I just need to like come clean. So she is upfront and is like, hey, we basically lied. And then he's like, okay, I'm gonna like mull it over. And I thought that was fair. And then he goes like, I get it, but like also you basically lied. Like, you were deceiving us for hours while we had dinner. I'm not cool with that. You signed a morality clause.
So
I'm gonna have to let you go.
I thought that was bullshit. Because he is a CEO. He's lying to shareholders every moment of every day.
And he's gonna shit
on her. Fuck that guy.
No, I know. Also, I was like, yes, but like also no. Because I was like, okay, yeah, it is shitty that they were like deceiving them. But I'm like, they're also like technically dating. So I'm like, it wasn't that. What did they really like I don't know. I guess, like, yeah, we didn't see the detail that they went into, like, of the wedding at the dinner or whatever. But, like, I don't know. It was just... And, like, what even is a morality clause? I guess it's, like, don't embarrass the company. But no one knows. No one knows but him. So it's, like, she didn't embarrass anybody and, like... Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, for sure an HR. Like, there was, like, and I mean, granted, we kind of learn that, like, maybe her heart really isn't in this career. So yeah, she does end up, it ends up being good that, that she's fired. But, yeah, like, it was a dick. Like, it was, like, I would sue, like, if I were rich and had time, like, I'd sue for something like that. It's really, it's a fucked up thing to do.
Totally. And if I was the CEO, I'd be like, okay, yeah, bad luck. We kind of got off on the wrong foot. But, like, also, it's like, there usually is a probation period. So I'd be like, let's just see how this goes. And if it doesn't work out, we can have another conversation down the road. But, like, just an immediate fire was pretty brutal.
It was so brutal. And the fact that, like, she was so honest. And I guarantee there are his underlings at his office are lying to him every day. Like, reports are coming in soon. No. You know, like, how he would hold her to just like a different standard based on her personal life, not her work ethic, is so fucked up.
And so many people lie on their resume and lie in interviews.
Yes.
That it's like literally like, what is the difference at this point?
I know, like that, and it was like such a, and it's a lot, he's not losing any money, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like this weird, odd, like, big dick energy power move, just like, ugh, God, like, who's this guy telling people who are less powerful than him what, like, standards of morality are, you know?
And also, a spouses club is weird at a, like,
100%,
a normal workplace. Like, I get it when, like, people are, like, maybe in the military or whatever, and you need more support from, like, community and stuff. But, like, at a normal job, I was just like, that's weird.
I find it very weird. Like, I have, like, this, like, ongoing fear that I'll accidentally join a cult, you know? Like, I just have this fear, right?
Yes.
And I think there's a lot, like, when I used to work in, like, offices and doing like temp stuff and just seeing the culture there and seeing how like they are trying to be a family so then they can like rely on people, you know, over the weekend or to work late because, you know, we're family.
This and was cult vibes.
It's cult vibes. And it's like, I always like felt like I'm kind of the thing of like people need their boundaries, like your workers need their boundaries. So it's like when you're performing after school clubs at work, like that's really fucked.
No, 100%.
I know it exists though. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. It's weird. And it's like, it's like, I don't know. It's just fucking weird. I don't know. I didn't like any of that. That was a red flag.
Totally. And like, it made me think, because like one time I was like working in an office and they knew I was a reader and they were like, we're all going to join a book club. You got to be here because, I mean, you have to be there. You're a reader. And I was like, no.
Like, I'm good.
And I'm good. Thanks. Yeah. Because I'm just like, you're not important. Like, I want to go home when the day's over. I'm not going to stay longer here.
Yes. You know? Yeah. It reminds me of the NYPD like dance club. Did you see that performance on GMA or whatever? Like, whatever. Like, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Also, if you have a community at work and you don't feel like it, it's like exploitative or like whatever. Love that for you.
Great.
We should find community everywhere. But like, I definitely think it is most often used as an exploitation tactic. So
it's
just
toxic.
Just check in with yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if it's like, oh, you know, like, because like people meet their partners at their jobs, they meet their best friends, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, oh, if you're starting a job and it's a given that you're part of the family, that's horrifying.
Absolutely.
And I say this as someone who's kind of unemployed at the moment.
Totally.
Hire me. Oh, no. Like, no.
But at what cost? Yeah.
Yeah.
That night, right after she gets fired, they decide to go on a double date with Dane and Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know shit's going to hit the fan. Stay home early. Like, you're already
unwell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have stayed home for sure. Like, I would have... Well, actually, I would have gone on a long Twitter rant and outed the CEO. But
After sending a threatening letter from my lawyer, I would have been at home.
Exactly. I would go viral and then watch TV, yeah, as one does.
I would start my, like, 45-part TikTok series.
Exactly.
Of how I got fired. And then, yeah, I would just get into comfy cozies. But they go regardless. Ethan and Olive are there, but and Dane, with Dane. But Amy's late. Ethan goes to the bathroom and... Dane is like, yeah, so, like, now that you guys are, like, dating, if you ever, like, want to mix it up, like, he doesn't explicitly say switch partners, but he is implying if you ever want to, like, swing, basically.
Yeah.
Let me know, and, like, we can, like, arrange that.
Yeah, and he's saying this earnestly. Like, I thought at first when I read it, I was like, oh, he's just making a stupid bro-y joke because he's a stupid bro. But then, like... oh, he's serious. Like, you know, like that to me, because it's like, they, he was probably, I don't know. Like, I feel like people make jokes like that a lot of like, oh, you're dating a twin. Like, do you ever confuse it that you're, you know, partner with their twin sibling? And like, it's like, whoa. And they're like, shut up. That's a really dumb question. But so that kind of thought, those me thoughts too. Exist.
Totally.
But he definitely like was serious and made her uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And so Ethan comes back from the bathroom and she's like, I'm just gonna like head home. And then love this about him because, again, attentive partner. He catches up with her in the parking lot and he's like, I can tell like you're not doing well. Like, what is it? Is it just the job interview or like did something happen? And then she's like, yeah, Dane propositioned me. And then he's like, no, I'm sure he didn't mean it like that. And... this is brutal. This is like...
this is brutal, but and very relatable. And I think it's a thing that our generation or like people this day and age are going to have to come to grips with.
Yes.
Of when someone in your family is...
yes, yes.
Can't not canceled, but called out for inappropriate behavior that maybe wouldn't have been called out 10 years ago.
Absolutely. So relatable, very difficult and very sensitive, but like be on the right side of history when these things happen. So I pulled some quotes because I thought this was really interesting. Ethan goes, look, what am I supposed to do? My girlfriend thinks my brother hit on her and he says he didn't. Does it matter who was right here? You're both offended. And then Olive goes, you're supposed to believe me and it absolutely matters who's right here. And then he goes, Olive, we've been together for like 2 weeks. And then she replies, like, at a later point in the conversation, like, what do I have to gain from lying about Dane? And I thought this was really poignant because this also really happens with a lot of, like, SA survivors. Is it's like, what is, like, if you think I'm making this up, what is my motive here? Like, what am I trying to gain? Like, this is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. It's embarrassing and like... for my sister. And like, I just think that that was,
it was, it's a good point to make. Cause I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit older than you, but like, you know, when that New York Times article came out about all these women that before Trump became president, and I was at a job then, and the, you know, the article comes out and, you know, everyone's talking about it and like, you know, this is pre-Me Too, you know, and people are like, someone, like, one of them's got, like, very earnestly says, because of the culture of our times, someone's got to be lying about it.
Yeah, to get the magazine cover or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And then, like, we were all talking about it, but it's like, but what does she have to gain? Like, here's this most, you know, rich, powerful guy, and she's putting her name out there, and I don't know, like, no one wants to be a victim. know what I mean?
No. And look how we treat people that do come forward, like say Monica Lewinsky. And I know that, you know, this is apples to oranges in this kind of situation, but like it is similar vibes and similar beliefs and cultural understandings that make these things happen, that uphold all these different levels of
absolutely
oppression, I guess.
I think there's this like narrative in our culture that has been in our culture since the Bible of like a manipulative woman. Right. And I think our default is to always assume the woman's manipulating you before she's telling you the truth.
Totally.
And I think like, or, you know, and not just women, but, you know, people like just of any kind of like minority or whatever that like is just, I don't know. So I think that like it's still, as like woke people think they may be, you know, like it still very much permeates.
Yes, and correct.
It's
gonna
permeate when it's your sibling, you know? It's hard when it's your family. And I don't have any friends who were accused, but like, you know, if I had a friend, you know, I think it would be really difficult to have to accept two truths about someone you're very close to. One, they've been by your side your whole life. And two, they also have this, you know, predatory behavior. That's a really hard thing to come to grips with. And I totally get that your first response, just being an older brother, is no, that can't be true. You know?
Yeah. And how much harm that causes to the person that's hearing that, and how it can stifle any further conversation or that person coming forward, like to Amy. Like, she really struggles with like telling Amy or telling anyone else, because it's like, again, also in these situations, it's like the person, because their power is being taken away and they are feeling like kind of maybe like out of control, like they have no control in this situation. They're not like, she's reeling from this information that's happening.
Absolutely.
So for someone to just like immediately deny it is just so, it's continuing that loss of control and and perpetuating those feelings.
Absolutely. Like, I think when these things happen, you know, in real life, you know, you're carrying a huge weight.
Yes.
When you're reaching out to someone, more or less, you know, like it's watching your boyfriend or your best friend being like, you're gonna have to deal with this on your own, and that is such a betrayal. You know? I really felt for Olive.
Totally. And it also just brings up the like, when it's like stranger danger, it's easier to call out because you don't have any personal connection with this person. But most of the time, these things happen with people you know. And again, I know I'm talking in like, Dane didn't like SA her and stuff like that. But like,
it's
in the realm of like, I don't know. Like it's one thing could lead to another. It's in the same kind of realm. Yeah.
It's in the realm of the people that you thought your heroes weren't. Like, I think it was just like inappropriate behavior that should have always been inappropriate.
Totally.
At the very least, you know.
Totally.
Like, it's almost like, you know, calling out like, you know, like male CEOs firing women, or you know what I mean? Or just like calling out like certain mannerisms and just like, you know, having to come to grips with it and coming to terms with like, oh, you've all. And the thing is that all of us have probably been in situations like that where looking back, you're realizing, oh, that wasn't okay. And I didn't realize it at the time.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, shit hits the fan. So Amy finds out about the proposition and and Olive kind of says, like, I think also, like, low-key he's been cheating on you for 3 years. And she's like, no, I think that's kind of like a miscommunication. Like, I haven't seen any, like, red flags. So they kind of have a falling out.
Exact. And, again, understandable. Just knowing people that has happened, like, friendships have broken up, like, but someone being like, your partner's cheating on you or whatever, and like now they don't talk anymore, only to discover that they're right. Like, it's a very common thing, you know, for you to get mad at the messenger. You
exactly
know what I mean?
Exactly. And like Dane, they do hang out like another time, but or Ethan and Olive hang out another time, but Ethan's just like, I don't know if we can continue to like date
her.
Straight up dumped her because and this is where kind of the full circle of the luck comes in, because he's like, I think you're seeing this in a, like a cynical way instead of just like, I don't think he meant it like that.
Yeah.
And you have this outlook on life and like, I don't want to date you anymore. So
it's this huge heartbreak because it's like, oh, maybe you do see me in the way that Dane incorrectly described me as this whole time, you know? And that's, again, like a thing that I think a lot of women, you know, encounter of like, no matter how much you can like change people's minds, like there's just, if you're have this coding in your brain of like who someone is, you know, yeah, it's deep in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amy and Olive don't talk for like 2 weeks. It's a really long time for them.
Especially the twins. Oh my gosh, very nervous. Again, twin energy. I was very nervous. I'm like, how can these twins not talk to each other for 2 weeks?
Totally.
Just JK, I don't know. I just assume everyone's T and Tamara, so.
No, no, same. I was like, twins can't not be on good terms, but I know that's not the reality.
Of course not. I just like, yeah. I just want to be a twin, I guess, is my point.
Totally, totally. But Amy reaches back out to her and she's like, I actually saw a text message from this chick named Trinity and like, I have an opportunity to like look further into his phone while he's at work. And she ends up contacting two of the women that he's been hooking up with, or not even hooking up with, like fully dating.
Oh yeah, no, carrying on like 1950 style affairs.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, that's so true. We don't see that anymore. Where it's like, no, you just have a full other family on the side.
Exactly. Like, and I don't even understand how people can do that. I don't even understand how people can handle one relationship.
Oh my god, that is so funny. I don't get it because you think, oh, you'll have to spend holidays together, but then he's spending holidays on trips with Ethan and the other girlfriend, like,
or yeah, and he, or he's like with, or he's saying he's with Ethan and he's with another girlfriend, and everyone just assumes because he's just getting away with it, because he could be like, he gets, Dane is getting this high from like getting away with it too, you know,
totally.
Like, there's something there,
but yeah, she invites the women over. She invites all. Amy invites Olive, Trinity, the other woman.
All the women come over. Yeah. It's a showdown. It's a showdown.
It's a showdown. And Ethan. And this is so funny. She says, I invited Ethan to Ollie. I think he owes you an apology, which was really great. And basically what happens is like, they're all just like, I thought you were my boyfriend. You have a fucking wife. Like,
yeah,
this is insane. And
insane.
Amy's like, I'm going to divorce Dane. The family really rallies around her. They come over and take care of her. She gets drunk. She says, you and Ethan should be together, not me and Dane. But they're still not talking, and Olive has to pick up her life. Her cousin gives her a serving job. She moves in with Amy. And then one night at work, that old fucking Mr. Hamilton.
He's just there.
In my head, he just is Moneybags, Mr. Moneybags or whatever from Monopoly. And he is seated in her section and she's like, you can, we can move that. This is weird. They go to like move him and she looks over and she sees somebody dressed in a full tacky tourist with the Mai Tai, the Hawaiian shirt, the like, I feel like scuba mask or like just the whole.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
In like a very fancy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ethan. And he makes his big grand gesture and apologizes to Olive. It's very, very cute. The whole restaurant cheers. Very 2000s Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah. It was a very like 2000s thing. Like, but it worked. It worked. You know.
It really worked. It did. Yeah. And really all's well that ends well. We get a little epilogue from Ethan's POV that they head back to Maui for a trip with Amy and her new boyfriend, Dr. Lucas, who is one of Ethan's friends. And Olive gets a job that she likes even more. And he proposes to her.
Yeah. And they, like, live happily ever after just being goofballs, you know?
Very cute. Very,
cute. It was very,
very
cute. Yeah.
I had a good time reading it.
I, you know, started it on Friday night and I, like, was like, I was like, oh, I'll read a few pages, you know, and as I like settle in for the night. And then it's 1 a.m. and I was like, oh my God, like that is like, you know, I just like blew through the book. It was so good. It really hits all of the marks. If you like enemies to lovers, like even if you're like, oh, I don't know about like the one bed trope or the fake dating thing. If you like enemies to lovers, this has it. This for sure has it.
And the you're right. The fake dating and the one bed, it's so minimal. Yeah. Like it's a plot point, but it's not like a huge catalyst for the couple getting together. And you're right. I flew through. This is actually one of my gripes and grumbles, little spoiler alert. But like I flew through the first half. Like, I was mm-hmm. eating it up. The second yeah. half does lag a little bit because it's,
I get that.
It's sad and yep. shitty. Mm-hmm. And, but it is, like, a good, like, third of the book.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a big third act breakup. I kind of wish yeah. they, like, shortened it a little bit. But it was
100%.
But it was yeah. realistic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was yeah. sad.
Like, I think that, like, you know, while it was cool with the, you know, girls showing up, you know, the girlfriend showing up, you know, that kind of, like, showdown, was it necessary? Not really. You know, for me, if I had my druthers, you know, like, it's a fun thing, but it's just, like, all I care about are, you know,
them getting back together.
Yeah, yeah, together. Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry for these other girls, but really, like, these two people, like, you know, so it is, like, kind of, like, you're like, as each person shows up, you're like, okay.
Totally. And as she, like, gets her job, there's a lot about the job and stuff like that. I was just yeah. like, get back together already.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it, you know, like, you kind of, but yeah, I think, like, I wonder if it's because, like, we're romance readers and we kind of, like, know, yes. not know where it's going, but, like, you know, like, I wonder if we're just like, okay, look, come on, let's get to it. Versus other people are like, oh, this is really interesting, getting a new job and you know,
yeah, like, and like learning sister. More about the characters, like depth yeah. and like grit and personality. Where I'm like, mm-hmm. just get to the makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're impatient. We're impatient ladies. Yeah,
no, we literally are. Okay, let's wrap up with some
okay
discuss. I did some internet investigation. This is our mm-hmm. cursory peruse of the internet. Of things you need to know, Christina Lauren is two people.
I realized that too. I was like, when I was reading like their thank you notes, it was, or like, you know, kind of in the
acknowledgments,
back.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, why are they thanking themselves? Oh, they're two people.
I was like shook to my core just because, mm-hmm. well, you don't often get, you know, duos as authors, right. and Christina Lauren, I've read, okay, one of my actual favorite books, I liked it mm-hmm. better than this one, is it My Favorite Half Night Stand?
Okay, all right, I just wrote it down. I think that's going to be next on my TBR list.
It I'm is like, this so is it. Good. It's okay. really, really, really good. Yeah, okay, so Christina Hobbs and Lauren Billings are the two mm-hmm. women behind their pen name, Christina
very cool.
Lauren, mm-hmm. and they're best friends. And this is my favorite fact about them. They first connected online in a Twilight fanfic community.
Aww.
In back in 2009, and they collaborated very cool. on a Bella Swan and Edward Cullen inspired workplace romance called The Office.
Cute.
That was downloaded more than 2 million times. And then they were able to publish it in 2013 mm-hmm. under the title Beautiful Bastard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, even though I did shit on Twilight earlier on, but I yeah. will say it isn't, I do, like, I feel like a lot of the authors that I read now, they're like, well, I first got into it, I read Twilight, you know, and it's like, but it really is kind of a jumping off point for a lot of the romance readers and writers we see today.
It is the culture, it is the Pride and Prejudice of the, like, yes. and I know, 100%. I know what I'm saying.
I know. No, no, 100%.
I know, like, in terms of impact, yeah. like, not writing.
No, and I think, like, honestly, like, I think 50 Shades of Grey is one of the most important books in, like, yeah. the evolution of humanity. Yes. It's yes. not a good book, but it's no. important, you know,
yes,
and shouldn't
exactly.
be dismissed, you know, and even though I don't, like, it's not good, and I won't want to read it again.
No, truly. And I have this running joke with my friend that I need to mention Twilight on every single one of these episodes. Mm-hmm. And when she first said that, she was like, oh, it's funny that, like, Twilight comes up a few times. Like, you should try to make it a joke that it comes up every episode. Like, just shoehorn it in. I haven't had to shoehorn it in one episode. No. It literally no. just comes up in every single, whether a character mm-hmm. resembles someone from Twilight or their inspo or that's how they got into the genre, like, it just
yeah.
is there. It's insane.
Yeah, it really is, like, it's important. I think you're right. Like, I think it is, like, as important as, like, because I'm always like, oh, well, 50 Shades of Grey and, like, women talking about sex and, like, her pleasure, that kind of thing. But also in terms of just, like, a angsty kind of will they or won't they romance, like, aside from the sex, you know, just showing like unrequited love and then requited and love.
Yes.
It is essential. Yeah.
And you're right. Pure angst and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It really is essential. Yeah. Or just like even using some of the like paranormal or like whatever as symbolism for like, in her case, like religion and stuff like that. Like it's just and purity and stuff like that. Like it's very, very, very interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah. Ooh. We just need to write like a academic thesis on this.
I'm sure there's one. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, no, there is. What are you talking about? Yeah. Like I probably have read it and just forgot that I did. And it's like, this is fascinating. Literally. And all my opinions are mine. And I
literally.
No.
But if I could literally like do a master's for free or whatever, like off the side of my desk, it literally would be on like the cultural impact of Twilight.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So funny. Also, Christina was a high school guidance counselor before switching to being an author full time. Lauren was a researcher with a doctorate in neuroscience. So I thought that was interesting because that is very similar to Olive.
Ethan's job or Olive's job. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Our wonder whys. These are unanswered questions for the listeners. I wrote like, how wild is it impersonating another person for vacation? And then I was kind of thinking, I was like, oh, no, it's pretty wild because you're like, you could get stranded if shit goes down in Hawaii. Yeah.
I mean, technically, it's fraud. Like, it's, you know, a felony. Technically, it's a felony. Yes. And it's a hilarious felony. Yes. And, you know, and it is very funny. Like, I don't think I would be able to do it.
No, maybe. I'm way too anxious, but maybe again, if it was like in my, like near where I lived or something like that, but like when you were like on a plane, I'd get so scared that like, I would get trapped.
I think
or
it's
something.
The honeymoon thing that kind of is maybe more difficult because it's like, okay, someone just asks your name and then you move on and you're like, phew. But then it's like, oh, you just got married. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And you have to like lie. Like it's that stresses me out. You know?
Yes. And when you book an all-inclusive with all the things for the honeymoon package, there is some extra stakes. My other wonder why was how much responsibility can we put on Ethan for not knowing about Dane? I think you're right that his reaction, while bad, is relatable and very familiar to a lot of people. But what do you think about him just for 3 years not knowing that he wasn't exclusive with Amy?
Yeah, I think that I wish there was a little more clarity because let's say Ethan knew and like it would just be nice to see Ethan's character like dig a little deeper or just like see him just a little more exposed. Like if he honestly didn't know and he thought Dane was, you know, kind of a trustworthy guy, like I would kind of want to be like, well, how have you dealt with this heartbreak that your brother isn't who, you know, he said he was? Or conversely, if you did know, like, how are you feeling? Like, did your brother manipulate you in some way? What made you want to lie? Like, tell me about your relationship with your brother more. Like, did he go to therapy, I guess, is my thing. Like, what did he talk about? You know? Yeah.
That was one thing I was going to say, too, that one of the problems I had with the book is we didn't really get any Dane follow-up. And I do love, obviously, the big romantic gesture and them getting back together. But it would be a little interesting to see just, like, like, what happened? Like, is he still in touch with Dane? Like, do they, like, or are they excommunicated? Like, what happened?
Yeah. Like, because usually with a lot of happily ever afters, you know, you kind of know what's going to happen. But every now and then I'll come across a romance, and this is one of them, where it's like there's a happily ever after, but there's still something up in the air. And that's his relationship with Dane. Because it's like, oh, well, when they get married, Dane's going to be at the wedding and so is Amy. You know, where are they going to sit? But like also there is a part of me that's like, oh, I wonder if like Dane gets a book. It would be really interesting to see Dane get a book and see him totally have to
change.
Yeah, like give him a redemption arc.
Yes,
you know?
I was kind of thinking that we might get that. So far, you know, nothing in the works.
Right.
But
I mean, he is a skis. I'm like curious. Yeah. But there is, I did read Nikki Sloan's The Good Girl, I think, mm-hmm. was about, yeah, like, I think that character was, like, the sleaze from the first book and gets his, like, redemption, you know? And it's, like, I was blown away by it. And I'm, like, oh, that can you can do that.
Yeah, that, no, totally, totally. That would be interesting. Yeah, I've read a few books from that series, so mm-hmm. interesting. Okay, Gripes and Grumbles, these are nitpicky problems we have with the book. Mm-hmm. This is, like, a big ick for me. But mm-hmm. I wanted to get your opinion on it. He talks about her boobs and she talks about her boobs
yeah.
so much. But yes. like, I feel like it was like really like in a male gazy way. And mm-hmm. I like he like literally can't stop looking at them and she likes it. So it's like if the person that, you know, is receiving that attention likes it, it's very mm-hmm. different than if they're not. But like,
of course,
yeah. I don't know. It's just not something I see it crop up in romance novels. And it's so interesting because romance novels, generally the point is that it's coming from a female gaze, which is so mm-hmm. rare in other art forms.
Mm-hmm.
And then this seemed so male gazy that sometimes it really sticks out at me as like, oh, that's weird because like, I don't know. Yeah.
I totally hear what you're saying. And I think, like, you know, there's a part of me, like, kind, like when it comes to boobs in books, because, like, I have my own relationship with my own body that is kind of, like, colored with my own experiences. So I'm just, like, kind of, like, a little, like, just get over it. People have boobs. Let's move on.
Yes,
and it's coming,
yeah.
And it's, like, coming from a place of, like, you know, it's coming from my own experience. Like,
totally.
It has nothing to do with, like, any sort of objective kind of view on the world. I think that, like, it is this interesting balance of, like, this want to, like, there's the male gaze, and then there's, like, the female desire, you know, or, like, the female power of being desired, you
yes,
know?
Yes, like, and sexy, and being sexy and stuff like
exactly,
that.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah, and
yes.
I'm, like, curious if maybe, like, that there's a fine line where some of it can kind of, like, teeter one way when you're attempting to make it look empowering and whatever, but then it just looks like a horny guy who's, like, toots, you know?
No, because that's what he was, like, literally doing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I don't think it was that crazy for Dane to not want Ethan to date Olive.
I agree. Yeah. No, I feel like it's, again, like, I think, well, if Ethan were to date Olive, like, let's say it would, you know, there'd be a crack in, like, Dane's kind of wall that he put up in terms of, like, oh, the truth can get out. Like, that's just another kind of hole in my,
yes,
you know, whatever.
Yes, yes.
And so I saw it as, like, he's just doing this to cover his own ass, you know. But again, like, I understand, like, it is interesting, you know, like, it feels like when two siblings date each other, it feels so much like a historical romance thing or a fantasy romance thing.
Yes, like, because that's insane.
Because that's, like, the only people who existed in the kingdom, so they
yes,
had to,
yes.
you know? And
yeah,
like,
very ACOTAR-coded, where, like, all of a sudden there's a mm-hmm. perfect mate. And
exactly.
they just all come from the same family.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, and it's just, like, weird because it's like, oh, okay, I guess that's convenient for the holidays. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, it's just...
yes, yes, yes.
But
yes.
it is interesting because it's like, okay, you meet someone's sibling and they have, or and they're very close, and it's like you meet their sibling. I don't know, like, if you're around each other and it, because, like, remember when everyone thought Harry Potter, not Harry Potter, Prince Harry and Pippa Middleton dated for a while.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I was right there.
Yeah. And
yeah.
it was like the lead up to the wedding and they're all
yeah.
like near each other, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think
yeah.
it's just like, I kind of see like maybe, you know, you think something, but never to the point where it's like, oh, we're like, there are two married couples and like, whatever, you know, our cousins are also our uncles. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. But, you know.
No, I was like, why was I rooting for Harry and Pippa? For
yeah.
Like, because, no, you're right. It's like, in theory, like, I guess it makes sense, like, if the siblings, you know, like, they obviously have shared values or shared mm-hmm. interests or whatever. So that makes sense that you might like the same type of person.
Right.
But
yeah.
then it's like, these are twins and...
And they're each other's twin sister-in-laws. They would be, you know.
Yes. And I was just like, yes, obviously he was doing it for nefarious reasons. to hide his cheating. But I was like, if he wasn't doing that, I'm like, I wouldn't want my sister or whatever, or my brother to date my girlfriend's sister. Right. Like, yeah.
And what another thing that I found interesting was that Ethan's the older brother. And he was just, it's interesting to see the older brother kind of be like, oh, okay. You know, like, you would think that it would be the older brother who would tell Dane what to do.
Dane is like the more extroverted, like direct, kind of person. That is interesting. And he's the more kind of nervous, quiet person. That's really interesting. Okay. Finally, our sequel scoop. This is the tea on any upcoming sequels, seasons, and the general reception. Obviously, the book did very well. It got picked up for a movie adaptation, which is very exciting. Screenwriters attached Joseph Mazinski. Apparently, they completed some version of a script in July 2021. Haven't heard a little whisper yet. I know with like the SAG after strikes, there is kind of a little bit of a, probably a cue for.
I mean,
how things are happening.
Like, yeah, there's that. And then, I mean, granted, I barely know anything, but I just like feel like whenever there's a rom-com out, there's always a huge fucking conversation about it of like, are rom-coms dead? You know, like, and I'm like, it's kind of like eye-rolly to me, like when that Sydney Sweeney movie came out and now that Anne Hathaway movie's coming out and just the conversations of like, can a rom-com survive in 2024? And it's like, can we just go to the movies and leave us alone?
Literally leave us the fuck alone. No, I know. Yeah. All the discourse around Anyone But You, I just opted out because I was like, I just do not need to have this conversation. It was like the biggest movie of the fucking year. Like, yeah, I just... And it's like, are women's interests, like, and work, like, valid enough to make a movie? Like,
I'm
so over it.
And I say this as wanting a career in Hollywood, but I feel like the people who are making the decisions are still the ones who were making the decisions earlier, you know? And so, like, and which is why I prefer to read my romances as opposed to watching them. Like, I think if someone, like, were like, would you rather watch a rom-com or read a romance novel? It would definitely be read a romance novel.
Absolutely, totally.
So, yeah, so I just, like, feel like just, I get annoyed with the kind of, I guess maybe why I got annoyed with romance as a genre is just like when this huge magnifying glass is being put up to something that isn't starring Chris whoever and it's a Marvel movie, you know, like
oh my god, if I have to hear about a goddamn another Marvel movie, like seriously completely agree. But yeah, hopefully it comes out one of these days, because I definitely see, like, it really reminded me, it had like my best friend's wedding vibes and stuff in the again in the best way. I think there was, like, really fun visuals. So I hope something happens with it. I hope it's not just, like, dead in the water because of, you know, bureaucratic stuff.
But even if it is, and I tend to be more of an olive when it comes to movies getting made.
Yes.
As someone who's tried to do this. I will say the book in and of itself is a triumph, you know. And it's like, okay, if we're not going to see it on the big screen, that's fine. This book is like... so enjoyable. It's like, who cares what medium the story is being told in? It's being told and it's fun, you know?
Absolutely. Completely. And if you want more, there is an audiobook. It's interesting. It's an audiobook and it's kind of a novella. It's 5 hours long, but it's a sequel to The Unhoneymooners. It's called The Honeymoon Crashers.
Ooh, let me look that down.
Add that to your TBR. It's narrated by Harry Shum Jr.
Because he does the voice of Ethan at the end. Because I do whisper sync where I listen, like I'll listen like while I'm driving and then just go and finish reading. I'm a both girl.
Love.
I swing both ways. I don't know why I made that joke. That was very 90s. I'm very embarrassed by that. But I got so excited when Harry Shum Jr. was it, because it's like, I don't know a lot of young actors, but I do know that he's a swoon-worthy kind of fellow, I believe.
Oh, he's leading actor, like, hot. I love him. I'm shocked his career isn't bigger, but he's been killing it lately, and I'm thrilled. I cannot wait to read or listen to this, I guess. But also, the person that plays Amy is Jess M. Garcia, who is one of my favorite characters on My Block.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And so, like, cool. She's so funny. So, like, it's mm-hmm. going to be, I think, really, really good. It's only nice. 5 hours. So, I'm like, I'm going to dummy this, like, this weekend.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Full cast, audiobook, like, sounds, mm-hmm. everything.
Oh, it's, so it's, like, immersive.
It's immersive. Very yeah, cool. It's very not, cool. They didn't put it into a written book, but it's mm-hmm. just audio.
Nice.
So I'm really excited for that. I will say, though, I read the synopsis. Mm-hmm. It's about Amy and Brody, and I was like, what happened to Lucas? Like,
yeah. Oh.
Lucas, the person that Amy went to Hawaii with at the in the epilogue.
Something happened in Hawaii, you guys.
Yes, again.
I bet you, like, something happened. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, okay, I'm very excited for this because you think that Brody or, like, Lucas is her endgame kind of guy. But, oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Super, super, super interesting. Yeah, you just assume it's the next guy she dates is the one. But, no, we get another person. So, yeah.
I mean, Amy, to the fact that, like, she went all the way with a wedding to this guy that she didn't really know. Like, it's kind of like, I'm not placing the blame on Amy, but, like, there is something to be said about her character who cares more about, like, winning and getting a deal versus, like, you know, authenticity and, like, you know,
yes.
making sure, or even just, like, looking out for yourself. So I feel like she has more growth. She has more growing to do, which I get.
Yes, honestly, justice for her character, because she got a bad look in this book. You're totally right. Not mm-hmm. even the Dane stuff. It's like her being so cheap and being so uppity. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt she was, like, holding shit over her sister's head at the beginning of the book. Like, I'm getting married. I have all this free stuff. Mm-hmm. You're the bad luck girly. And I'm the good luck girly. I didn't really super like her. So I'm mm-hmm. very interested to see. But, like, Olive is so lovely. The whole family is so lovely.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she's lovely, but I just need to see it. Yeah.
Because I liked her more when she was going through the breakup.
Like, me too.
That's so terrible, but it's like you saw some vulnerability, you know?
Yeah. And, like, yes. And some good sister mm-hmm. relationship stuff. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. Okay, Becky, this was so fun.
Oh my God. So enjoyable. Like, honestly, I love this book. I love you. And this was, like, I'm so excited you're doing a romance novel podcast. I mean, I know you've put out a few episodes already, but, like, you know, this is relatively new, you know, compared to your other podcasts. And so I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's big endeavor. But I really appreciate all your support. Can you let the listeners know where they can find you and anything else you want to plug?
Sure. Yeah. So my podcast is Too Stupid to Live. It's on your various podcast platforms. My Twitter and Instagram handle for that is TSTL Podcast. And then my handle for Twitter and Instagram and TikTok is Beckles212. And that's just me, my own personal thing. But sometimes I put some romance stuff in there too. So give it a follow.
I love it. Thank you again so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And that's the story of the Unhoneymooners. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Becky for joining me on today's show. This is really fun. But if you're listening to this on its premiere date, April 24th, my episode on Becky's podcast, Too Stupid to Live, is out now. I was telling Becky this when we were recording this episode because we recorded it about, like, a month ago. I think I recorded 2 or 3 podcasts that day because I was being crazy and I was like, it was the third one and I had finally hit my stride. And I think it's one of the best podcasts I've recorded in the past, like, 6 years. So go check that out. I'll put the link in the episode show notes. I know that the romance community is strong, and oftentimes we're not reading alone. We are reading with a group of people, whether that's a book club or some type of online community. So let those folks know that you have been enjoying Ready to Be Romance. I would appreciate it so, so, so much. If you have a book that you'd like to suggest or you would like to leave a voicemail for a future episode, you can do so via the links in the episode show notes. And I think last week I messed up the schedule and said Need Me was next, but I messed up because I recorded that episode before this one, but that will be next week's episode. So I'm very, very excited. It will be with a very special co-host, Sky Warren. And the May schedule is already out on Instagram, and I am busy planning the June schedule. So I'm very excited for what's to come for Ready to be Romanced. Okay, friends. Our next episode is Need Me. Until then, happy reading. For Ready to be Romanced, I'm Tori. Goodbye.